Welcome to EMG Transformations with Dan Stoll. Each episode will empower you to ignite your inner fire and provide methods to maximize your mental and physical performance. You never know how one valuable insight can make such a big impact. Please leave a 5-star review if this episode leaves a positive impact on you. And don't be shy to screenshot and share episodes on social media that you find helpful so we can spread the message and make the world a better place. You never know who may need to hear and the impact it has on them too. We're only scratching the surface. There's so much more to learn. Subscribe and stick around to manage stress, improve your health, and create lasting lifestyle changes. Buckle up and get ready to spark your transformation with Nova Fusion.
3, 2, 1, 0. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome to EMG Transformations. Today we have a special treat with the sweet and spicy Sandy Scarlatta. Sandy is a 2-time award-winning author, certified life coach, professional speaker, retired U.S. national and international figure skating coach, a gold medalist in ice dancing, a Reiki master teacher, and has spent the past 20 years helping people create lasting changes in their lives. She just does it all here. And as a thought leader, Sandy has over 30 years of corporate experience, has owned multiple businesses, and is known for her authenticity in leading and motivating teams. She is also the host of the Happiness Solved podcast and managing director for the Los Angeles Tribune Global Podcast Network. I'm so excited to gift you guys with a dose of happiness and inspiration today. Thank you so much for joining us, Sandy.
Thank you. My doorbell rang and my dog started going berserk, so I muted it real quick. So hopefully that will, I apologize to the listeners if you hear that. But thank you so much for having me, Dan. It's just such a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I mean, we've kicked it off in a group community. We've met in person a couple times now, and the energy is just, I love your energy, and it just feels like we're in alignment. So I'm just having this conversation and continue to grow with you as well. So I'm excited. Yeah. Let's dive into this conversation now. And I like to really spark things off with, you know, your backstory and especially some of those experiences and struggles even that shaped you into who you are today.
How much time do we have, Dan? So when you've been on the planet for almost 6 decades, you know, it comes with all sorts of, you know, everyone's life is a roller coaster. Mine is no exception. You know, I feel like it's just different peaks and valleys. And, you know, I think, you know, for me, it really started 2 weeks before my 13th birthday. My older brother was tragically died when he was serving in the U.S. Army. And, you know, well, as tragic as it was, during that time frame, it was 1978, and nobody talked about things like that. You know, we're at a point now in 2024 where mental health is discussed more openly. I think we still have a lot of work to do with that. Back then, it was like a big, absolutely not. Like, you didn't seek therapy. You didn't, like, I remember coming back to school, not one person said a word to me. You know, the guidance counselors didn't pull me in their office and, are you okay? Like, there was zero conversation. And so as a child, you know, that told me that, you know, nobody really cared, right? Because I didn't have any sort of support with the multitude of emotions that comes with that, you know, at such a young age. The flip side of it was that my mom went into a deep depression for nearly 10 years. And so I essentially was on my own from that point forward. And so while everything was okay, I made a really poor decision in my early 20s when I started dating an older man and he put cocaine in front of me. And I, because my brother had a lot of drugs in his system when he died, I was like, I'm never doing drugs. And it was just a very weak moment for me. And I was looked up to this older man, right? He was 11 years older than me. I was 20 years old. And I made a poor decision and I started using cocaine. Well, fast forward 3 years, I hit complete rock bottom. And, you know, I always like to say things happen for you, not to you. And that was the best thing that could have happened for me because it put me on this trajectory that I've been on for the past 34 years. It was January of 1990. And so I've been on this trajectory for 34 years now and, you know, wouldn't change a thing. Now, you know, I became a complete self-help junkie. I love having these types of conversations. And that's why I started my podcast 3 years ago, because I want to talk to people. I want to talk to experts that know more about a topic than I do. And I want to ask them questions and I want to learn about it. Because no matter how long, you know, even though, yeah, I've been on this journey 34 years, I don't even think you're 34 years old yet, right? But it doesn't matter. I can learn from you, right? Because your life experiences will help me and vice versa. And that's why this community that we're in is so important, because there's so much knowledge and there's so many things that we need to learn just to help us cope. Because, you know, life happens when we're busy making other plans and you just never know when, you know, you're going to get thrown another curveball, you know, so... So that's kind of my backstory the in a lump sum.
Yeah.
I mean, in a nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah. You really, I mean, in that time, like there's a lot going on in at once and it's just, nobody's talking about it. Probably don't have the tools that you have now to cope and right. Manage those situations. So I'm curious, did you go to college during that time? And if so, like, what was that like navigating through those personal struggles?
So for me, because I was a competitive ice skater, all I ever wanted to do was compete, was to perform in the ice capades. So I graduated from high school in 1983. And 2 weeks after my high school graduation, I get a letter in the mail from the ice capades saying, congratulations, you're on a waiting list. And I was like, well, what do I do now? Like all my friends were going to college. College was never even in my realm of reality. You know, both of my parents were high school dropouts. You know, my mother had her first baby at the age of 16. That was in the 50s. And it was pretty common, you know, back then to do that. And so my stepfather, who raised me since I was 3 years old, my biological father died when I was 18 months old, but he just kept telling me, just take all the secretarial classes so you can be a secretary. I'm like, okay. So I actually did think, well, okay, well, maybe I should go to college. And because I'd never thought about it, I didn't know what I wanted to go to college for. So I joined, I enrolled in a fashion institute in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Was 17. I got there when I was 17, turned 18 in October. Big mistake. You don't send a 17-year-old girl to Fort Lauderdale, Florida to go to college, because I ended up just on the beach every day and ended up dropping out and came back home. So that was my college experience. It was not a very good one because, as a matter of fact, oddly enough, all of my roommates got involved with this group of men that were cocaine dealers. And I refused to do it. And it caused a big riff with my roommates. So I was miserable because they were not speaking to me because I wouldn't participate in their, you know, partying and things like that. Now, I ended up getting my college degree 35 years after I graduated from high school. So I got my bachelor's degree in business management with a certificate in human resources management in 2019 was when I finished school finally.
Well,
so never too late.
Yeah, right? Congratulations on finishing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it became a personal, and the thing is I didn't know this, but I was a really good student. Like, you know, I graduated like magna cum laude and, you know, just, I loved it. I mean, and there's still a part of me that wants to go back and get my master's. I'm like, you know what? Like, why? Like, don't spend any more money. You don't need your master's degree, but I enjoy college. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's interesting because, I heard you talk about like you're a self-help junkie now too, and like it just seems like you have this this energy to do stuff. It's like it doesn't, I mean, it does matter what it is, but like you have this this drive within you to get your hands dirty and just do it. And that brings me to a question of do we actually change or do we redirect our efforts? Because you went from, going on and doing some drugs, but then you flipped it around completely, and now you're this self-help junkie that's just positively impacting so many people. So with that, what's your idea of that change and that redirection of energy when it comes to just getting that clarity, or what was that like for you?
So it was definitely a process. And my ex-husband, we were engaged when all of this went down in January of 1990. And because he had some people in his that he worked with that had gone through similar experiences, I agreed to do an outpatient rehab program. And then I made an agreement that I would go to a 12-step program. And so the 12-step program was just incredible. So that was my first introduction to spirituality. And those 12 steps were just incredible. And they work for a reason, and you fill in the blank, like the step one is we admitted our lives were unmanageable. And see, now I'm forgetting it because it's been so many years. We agreed that our lives were unmanageable and that, we had to take control of our lives or something like that. But that's where it all stems from. It stems from the unmanageability that whatever it is causing you, whether it's, you're working out too much, you're a workaholic, your life becomes unmanageable because of whatever it is that you're abusing. It doesn't, people can abuse many different things. It doesn't have to be drugs. It can, working too much. There's all sorts of things. So that was my first introduction. And then I really wanted to, I kept hearing people say, there's miracles all around us. And I was like, I didn't know what that meant. And once I experienced for the first time that miracle, it just opens up a whole window and you realize that God, Source, Buddha, Allah, the universe, whatever you want to call it, is real and it's supporting you and it wants you to be successful and it wants to help you. You just have to be open to seeing the different signs. And so to get back to your question, yes, I do think people can change. It's just, it's all about the journey that you go on. Right. And it's a practice every single day. I have lived this way every single day of my life for the past 34 years. And it's a practice. And I am not perfect. And yes, I get angry. And yes, I lose my patience. And yes, I get frustrated. It's normal to experience all of those range of emotions. We're human. We are supposed to experience it. And I challenge anybody out there, and I love having a conversation with these people who are like, oh, I don't get angry. I don't. Like, yeah, you may not get angry, but there's thoughts that you still have thoughts, right? It's what you do with the thoughts once they come into your consciousness. And so it's really more about making that commitment to yourself every single day. We have a choice. And you have to decide every single day which way you're going to go, because, yeah, curveballs happen. Yeah, we get stressed. Somebody cuts you off in traffic and it's upsetting and oh and because it's scary, right? You almost got in a car accident and you're supposed to react in a certain way. And then what do you do after it? What do you do next with that information? Are you going to let it piss you off all day? Because I lived that life for a very long time where somebody would cut me off in traffic and I'd be talking about it for 2 weeks,
Right.
right? And so it's just about making that choice. Okay, let me feel it. Let me feel it. Let me experience it. And then let's move on and choose to shift your consciousness in a different direction.
I love that. From what I'm hearing, it sounds like control what you can control, and don't react, but respond. And those are two things that really helped me get out of my victim mentality when I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And, you know, every day was just pain. And why did this happen to me? And, you know, what did I do to deserve this? And
right.
I'm just having all these negative emotions. And then,
God
forbid, something else happens outside of my regular day to day that just, you know, adds another layer to it. And it's like, oh my God, like, it's just the world's
yeah.
open. And so
yeah.
I can relate with that so much. And it wasn't until I started diving into those ancient texts and realizing that, oh, maybe none of this is good or bad. And I'm just putting this perception on it.
That's right.
It's like,
that's right.
Everything is just happening and I'm the one that says it's good or bad. And that was just enlightening for me to realize that, oh, I have a choice to think positive and go in this new route and maybe do some more proactive things that can help my situation. Who would have thought?
Yeah. Well, it's so true. And the thing is, and I always encourage people, when something happens, things do happen to you, of course, right? It's just, when things happen to you, you want to experience the full range of emotions. You want to process it because you don't want to shove it down and pretend it didn't happen, because it did happen and it's real. And so you want to experience those emotions and take as long as you need. You know, there's still times when my Achilles heel has always been, because I had like a lot of mean girls in high school, and that's still an Achilles heel. And, you know, I had a friend of mine who I just absolutely adored, and she really hurt my feelings. And I ruminated over that for a couple of weeks, and that's okay. You know, it took me a few weeks. It didn't control my life. It didn't ruin things, but it was still there. I go back to, it's a daily practice. I had to practice forgiving every single day. And then it finally did dissipate, because when things happen to you, ultimately by working through those feelings and the emotions, you will eventually get to a point where you say, this happened for me, not to me. And that's when you're free. That's when you're able to free yourself of that space that has been taking up, that real estate that's been taking up space in your head, the negativity, the resentment, the bitterness, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And on that theme of like, this happened for me, and talking about choosing happiness, I'm curious, like, was there an event that happened that put you down this path and made you decide, like, oh, every day I'm deciding to choose happiness, I'm going to have a good day? Or was it just this kind of decision that, you know, I just want to have a better life and I want to keep going in this direction and it feels good? Like, were there any of those cases for you?
So I think it's just been a combination over the years, because I wasn't this, you know, it took me a while to get to the place where I was consciously choosing consciousness over ego. Okay. And it's still something that I choose on a daily basis. So it's just been a combination of many, many years. I've studied a lot of different religions. I was a diehard student of the Course in Miracles for a solid 12 years. That was life-changing for me, because it just resonated with me. The text just resonated with me. And that's what I encourage people to do. You know, I call myself a recovering Catholic, simply because it doesn't resonate with me. Is it bad? No. Is it's just neutral to me now, right? And you just want to gravitate toward what feels right for you. And so for me, it's just over the years, all the studying and the books that I've read and the conferences I've been to and the courses I've taken, it's just been, and I'm still evolving and growing. It's just on, it's just different levels. Like, you know, like we're like an onion, you know, and they say you peel away, and that's it. I'm still peeling the layers, and I will be peeling the layers away until I take my last breath, because we're very complicated beings. And there's, you know, there's years and years of trauma. And while I've dealt with most of my childhood trauma, every now and then it still pops up and you're like, okay, I thought I dealt with that. Let's peel some more layers away, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just a journey. It's not a destination. And I think that, you know, I always kind of cringe when people say the pursuit of happiness. There's no pursuit of happiness. It's a choice. It's a journey. It's not a destination. And I think that's the mission that I've been on with my podcast and my books and everything, is like, just letting people know, like, this is a choice. Happiness is a choice, and the choice is yours. So choose wisely.
Yeah, I learned that in high school, actually. There was this class. It was this blow off class, assumingly so, and it was like
Right.
the, like life development class, like just something.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was. I mean, thinking about it now, it's great. But like as a high schooler, I'm like, yes, like there's another hour I can
easy,
just talk
easy
about.
A, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But one of the things, and my teacher, she was such a sweet lady. She was, I want to say she was like in her late 70s, and she had cancer, but she still, you know, continued to teach and just bring this positivity every day. And one of the things was, she said that when you wake up, you can choose to have a good or bad day, like the moment you wake up. And that's something I've never heard before. Like you wake up to the alarm clock and you just go on with your day. If something bad happens, you have a bad day. And like that's, it just spirals out. So like that was my mindset at that time. And so the fact that she like opened me up to that,
yeah,
I always go back to that. And that's like a lifelong lesson that I never saw coming, but now I even take it up a notch. It's like every day is a new life. Like, how can I make the most of today? Like, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, if we even
That's right.
got tomorrow. So
That's right.
I'm going to make sure that this conversation, I'm going to treat it like it's my last conversation, and with every other conversation I have. And so just having that mindset, it helps you make the most out of life, make the most out of these relationships and conversations. And like, that's a day worth living. And so when you have like every day like that versus just running on autopilot every day, it's like there's no comparison. So why not choose happiness, choose to live this fulfilled life, and maybe read your book to help you out too. There's all these resources available. So.
Well, and that's just what's great about podcasting is it's free.
Yes.
You know, it's free. It's a free way to get education and learn and grow. And it doesn't cost you a penny. It just, you know, takes in 45 minutes, an hour out of your day, whatever it is, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things I really wanted to touch on was you have this Hawaiian healing poem that kind of like brings you back to a reset, but also just like purifies your mind in a sense. So I'd love you to break that down for someone hearing it for the first time and maybe share like how it's helped you in the process as well.
Absolutely. It's called Ho'oponopono. And I was reintroduced to it, oddly enough, when I had had the book, I read it years ago, downloaded it again. Something just told me that I needed to read this book again. Actually, it was the audio version. And I started listening to it when my husband and I were on a plane to Hawaii. And this was last year. And it's an ancient Hawaiian healing practice. And it's four phrases that you say. You say, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. So you're saying, the first part is, I love you. And you can, from what I understand, and because I was privileged to interview Dr. Joe Vitale on my podcast, and he's the one that brought this to the forefront. And it doesn't, the order that you say it in doesn't really matter so much. I like to say, you know, I love you first, because what you're doing is you're acknowledging the divine, you're acknowledging God, Jesus, Buddha, Allah, the universe. So you're acknowledging your love. And then you say, I'm sorry. And this is where it trips a lot of people up, because they're like, well, I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. Well, you had a negative thought. You chose to have a negative thought. So that is kind of, you know, a mistake or whatever. It doesn't mean that you're a horrible person. It's just, you're just acknowledging that you did something that was more an ego instead of consciousness, right? So you're saying, I'm sorry. And then you say, please forgive me. Self-explanatory, you're asking for forgiveness. And then you're saying, thank you. Because by saying thank you, you're expressing your gratitude to divinity. So what it does is, so I first started using it because you asked me how it's helped me. I first started using it because I still have some episodes of PTSD that stems back from, I'm sure, my childhood. My biological father died at 18 months old. My brother died when I was 12, going on 13. And so there is some, that's pretty significant trauma for a child. And so I still would have periods of anxiety. So that's when I first started really using it. And I would just start saying, you know, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And I would just start repeating it in your mind over and over and over. And what I noticed, I haven't had an anxiety attack in over 18 months, and it lasted less than 30 seconds because of Ho'oponopono. And what happens with me is, and like I said, I haven't had one in a long time, because when these thoughts come into my consciousness, I use the Ho'oponopono prayer, and it eliminates it right away. But what happens with me is I get these thoughts that somebody's going to die. Okay. And because now I have a son, he's 23 years old now. It's usually him, right? Because that's like every mother's worst nightmare. And so it'll come into my consciousness, and I just start repeating that prayer over and over and over. What it is said that it can really do is it helps clear generational trauma, even within your DNA code. And so I like to just start my day with that prayer, because it sets the tone for the day. But throughout the day, anytime I have a negative thought or something that could potentially send me into anxiety, you know, I just start saying that prayer, and it just erases it. It's gone. And the more you practice it, the less, you know, we can, you know, the great thing about this work, Dan, is that you can change your subconscious mind. And so by doing things like practicing Ho'oponopono, you're helping to rewire those neurons that fire in your brain. And so it's just another tool, one of many, many tools out there. I resonated with it. I touched on this earlier about miracles, and we have so many miracles if you're open to seeing them. To me, that was a miracle that I forgot what this book, Zero Limits, was about. Totally forgot about it. I was like, oh, I just need to check it out again. I start listening to it, and he's talking about Hawaii. Here I am flying to Hawaii, spent 2 weeks in Hawaii listening to this book. And then I like bought his course. And what's great about Joe Vitale is he's got these courses that are like $19, you know, like they're very, very inexpensive, where you can dive into it even further than what the book gives. And so I just spent 2 weeks in Hawaii just living and breathing that. And you know, the thing about this work is you have to keep practicing it every single day, you know, and that's why a lot of, you know, self-help, personal development coaches and writers and authors and podcasters, you know, sometimes people give us a bad rap. And it's only because, you know, you spend a couple $1,000, you go to a conference, you hear some great information, you come home and you forget about it and you don't apply it. Like this work, you have to apply it to your life. You have to practice it. And if you practice it every single day and just commit to 90 days, 90 days is nothing. 90 days flies by like that. Yeah. So whatever it is that you choose, because there's so many modalities, just make a commitment to yourself that you're going to practice this every day for 90 days. And I'm telling you, you will experience miracles in your lives, and your life will change for sure. It's going to happen.
Well, you just gave me a new 90-day challenge over here. Yeah, I want to put this to action and, you know, just get that positivity. And, you know, whenever something does happen, like it's something that you can go back to. And I love how you said it's a tool, because I love having a toolkit for life and adversity. And that's a perfect tool to whenever a situation where you're feeling down or negative or just, you know, like upset. I think that's like, yeah. Like when you're just feeling down, like maybe you're not so angry, but like, just, you know, you're in the blues there. So like, I feel like that's a great go-to tool in your toolkit to just whip out, say it a few times, really feel it, visualize. And for you, it's like even more powerful, I feel like, because, well, you can, I'll ask this as a question. When you do the poem, does it kind of connect you back to Hawaii? Because that's when you were really learning, I don't want to say learning it for the first time, but you really dove into it again. So I would feel like that those memories and those feelings would come back. It's like the connection and the emotion, they're all linked.
Maybe a little bit. I practiced, I've been meditating pretty much on a daily basis. There was a few years when I had a lot going on in my life where I kind of got away from the core of who I am. And you know, life isn't a straight line. You know, we're always going to have detours and whatnot. But I learned a modality of meditation back in 2007. My meditation guru is Stephen Sadler. He runs the Self-Awareness Institute, and he now lives in Hawaii full time. He used to be in Laguna Beach. He has trained hundreds of thousands of people over the last 40 years. And it's a discipline of, I'm going to mess up the name, but there's a lot of different disciplines of meditation, and it doesn't matter which one you choose. Just they're all beneficial. This particular one I really like because he dumbed it down and made it so simple. But what began to happen when you start a meditation practice, what happens is you have like everyone's experience is very different. For me, I really connect with Archangel Michael. So Michael is always with me. And I'm always seeing, and it's a spiral. I see a violet, like a violet light. If you can imagine those things you snap people wear at concerts, almost like that, but it's violet. And it's a swirl that starts enveloping my whole body and just swirls around me. And then I you know, and you walk yourself through this. And then I see like a golden white light that comes down right into your thalamus, which is the most powerful part of your brain. And then I visualize the light running through me. So because I practice it for so many years, I can go to that space very quickly. And so when I close my eyes and I'm saying, you know, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, that all just starts happening. Mm. And it's just a very calming place for me. And when you can even spend 5 minutes a day or 2 minutes a day, whatever time you have, what happens is you just become so much more aware and more in tune, not only with who you are, but all of a sudden it's, I call it like you get downloads, like all of a sudden ideas pop into your head, create creative ideas. And like, oh, this is happening. You know, like I've had an idea for ever since I published my book to have a whole series of books, but I was waiting for the right time. And that right time happened a week ago. And within 1 week, I've got a massive book deal, at least a dozen books that are going to be released over the next few years. Cause I've tapped into my intuition and it was like, now's the time. And like that, it's happened. And I attribute that to meditation because it was like, okay, it's time. Now it's time to have that conversation. And I had that conversation with one person and boom, 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 boom. It's like a snowball effect. And all of a sudden I've got this massive company behind me publishing a whole series of books.
That is incredible. Like that deserves congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That is, cause like, I know that's a big thing, like to create this, like this dream in your head and then bring it to life. And then you don't know how it's going to happen, but you know, the divine download came and you acted on it. That's the most important thing. Like you heard it, but then you went and acted on it. And that's what got you the results that you're seeing. And you know, like I'm a visual person. And when you just described all that, like that's just like magic in my, like I can see the swirl coming and I can see it coming down and through you. And like, that's just like such a purifying like moment that we can all have if we incorporate.
Oh yeah.
And so like, it sounds so divine and magical and like this one of a kind experience, but you know, everyone listening, we can all have our one of a kind unique experiences. And that's what like the coolest thing about it is to me.
Yeah. And I have it all the time. I can tap into that anytime I want. It's there. I'm not unique. I've learned how to do this.
Yeah. So has meditation always been like a key component of your life? And I'm curious, like, especially with like high performance and peak performance, like managing the mind, is that something that has always been like incorporated together?
It was this real struggle. Probably my very, very closest friend, we coached skating together. So we've been friends almost 35 years now. It was like her mission in life to get me to meditate. And so I was introduced to it probably 35 years ago when I met her, and she would have these little classes, and I'd come over, and I'm just like, I am high performing. I am type A to the extreme. I go, 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 go. One of my other friends calls me a thoroughbred. That's her nickname. I'm a thoroughbred, she calls me. And so it wasn't until I took Stephen Sadler's course in 2007. And she was the one that she was like, no, you're going to do this. Okay. And I did. She goes, just commit to it for 12 weeks. Biggest, you know, best decision I ever made. Incredible. And it was like, he was doing this remotely over the phone back in 2007. And he's in California, and there were people all over the world.
Wow.
I ended up going into a mastermind with him, which was, oddly enough, Mark Victor Hansen was on the call with me every week on this mastermind. And I just met him. Well, the second time I met him, but we both spoke at the same conference 2 weeks ago in Las Vegas. So it was great to kind of reconnect with him again. It was really that made the difference for me, because it's so hard when it was just, I resisted and resisted because my mind is just gone, you know, like I'm clearly, you know, have attention deficit, but for me, it's a superpower and I've learned how to use it to my advantage. And so it's very healthy for me to just sit and learn how to just quiet the mind, because you're never going to, and I'll just tell you just really quickly, what Stephen would always say, and this is why I resonated with his course, is that you're never going to shut down your thoughts. It's not about blanking those thoughts out. It's about focusing your consciousness into one thing. And it's, he goes, imagine there's a television on and it's in the other room, and you hear the television in the other room, but you're not paying attention to it. So that's kind of why I like his form of meditation, because it's always going to be there. It's always going to be there. Those thoughts are going to be going. But instead, you acknowledge it. Okay, I hear that thought. And you direct your thoughts to, for me, focusing on the light coming through. And that's what I just focus on. So it's just a matter of training. It's training yourself like anything. Just like, you know, I had to practice, I play tennis. I have to go out and I practice my swings, right? It's a practice. It's like anything. And meditation is no different. You know, practicing Ho'oponopono, you know, whatever it is, you just have to practice it.
It's all a skill, like going to the gym and getting
classes. Yeah. I mean, I wish I could do one set of reps and have the, you know, this go away from under my arms, you know, and do some tricep, you know, things. And boy, my tricep would be looking amazing. No, I got to work on that every day.
Right. Yeah. And so another thing that you mentioned the ego a couple times, and now you're combining it with the type A high performer. I'm like, oh, I know where we're going now. So I'm wondering, like, has the meditation helped you put that ego to the backseat and get that balance? Or like, where's the ego standpoint on that and the meditation?
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think meditation definitely helps with that. I recently have been getting more into the quantum field and learning more about that. And the thing is what people have to understand is your ego is trying to protect you. All right. Our ego is there as a protection mechanism. And when you think back to 2000 years ago, the fight or flight, right? That your ego was protecting you because you were either trying to find food to eat, you were trying to protect yourself from being eaten, you know, or, you know, it was true survival, right? Nowadays, yeah, sure, your ego would say, don't go down that dark alley, you know, yeah, oh, thank you, yeah, I won't, right? It's just that, you know, oh, I've got, you know, I'm going to launch a podcast. And then your ego starts going, who are you to launch a podcast? You know, you start feeling inferior. I'm not good enough. Imposter syndrome, all of those things. That's your ego, because it thinks it's protecting you because it doesn't want to see you fail.
Right.
All right. So you just have to be aware of that. It's just, there's only two states of being. You're either in consciousness or you're in ego. There's no in between. So if you're not feeling in consciousness, which is gratitude, love, joy, peace, all of those high vibrational frequencies, states of being, that's consciousness. If you're not up there, you're an ego. And so what I started doing, and this has worked for me, is I still use the Ho'oponopono, but lately I've been doing this a little bit more than Ho'oponopono. I just say to myself, consciousness in, deep breath, ego out. And I'll do this exercise, consciousness in, ego out, consciousness in, ego out. And of course, focusing on everything you have to be grateful for. Gratitude is the quickest way to raise your consciousness, is just by focusing on everything you have to be grateful for. So, you know, there's just so many little tools that we have at our disposal.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? I always like to lead with an attitude of gratitude myself. Like, that's the best way to live your life.
Yeah.
You know, even for the bad things, because again, life happens to us, or for us, not to us. And all of these things, you don't know what you're going to do with it right now. You don't know why it happened, but maybe in a month you will. Maybe in 6 months you will. And so these things unfold, and it's like, oh, now I understand. But if you just had this negative mindset the whole time, you're never going to see the positive. And that's why I have duality, the yin yang, in my logo, because it doesn't matter what is happening. Like, we both have been through really tough times, but we both now,
that's right,
looking back, is like some of the best things that could have ever happened to us. And if you were to say that, go back in time and tell us to that back then, we'd be like, are you kidding me? This is the worst thing that could ever happen. Like, my life is over. Like, for me,
right,
I have a future. So
right,
it's crazy how things work out. But having that trust, having that faith, that growth mindset, even, like, I love just having that simple analogy with that. Like, there's always room for improvement, there's always room for growth. You know, that helps me look at the optimistic side of things and find those golden opportunities, even if they are a needle in the haystack. Like, just because it's hard to find doesn't mean we shouldn't not go looking for it, you know?
Yeah, so true. Yeah.
Yeah, and since
I love that.
We're diving into, you know, your secrets of peak performance over here now, I'm curious, like, what have you seen to be the biggest block in people that, you know, kind of get in the way from that next level that we all have?
It's one word, confidence.
Thought you were going to say fear, but I like
that. Well, of course, but lack of confidence is fear.
True.
You know, what is fear? You know, false evidence appearing real. And so I always kind of feel like the opposite of fear is love. It's just when you're in that fearful state, it's your confidence. And, you know, I do work with some very elite athletes. And I always like to use this example with my clients because it applies to everything, no matter what you're doing. So again, I'm a huge tennis fan. I watch probably an unhealthy amount of live tennis on television. And I'm so excited that the Australian Open is happening on January 14th. Because I'm just like,
yeah. It's coming.
Yay. So I believe it was either Wimbledon or the French Open. And it was 2022. Novak Djokovic, he's in the Grand Slam final, lost the first two sets. He takes a break because you're allowed to take a bathroom break. He leaves the court, comes back on the court, proceeds to win the next three sets. Because remember, with men, it's five sets. It's your best out of five. So you have to win. So he lost the two. So it was like, okay, if he's going to win, it's going to be a five setter. You know, and this is a 4-hour match, right? This is not, I mean, this is incredible. Playing at the highest level, he ends up winning after, you know, he wins the five sets, wins the Grand Slam title, which I think may have been his 20th at that time, because he now has 23 titles. It's ridiculously crazy. So the announcer says, so you took a bathroom break. Well, what did you do when you were on that break? He goes, well, I had to relieve myself. He goes, but then I looked in the mirror and I had to give myself a pep talk. And that's what made the difference for him. And I point that out to people because if Novak Djokovic, who is arguably one of the greatest athletes we have ever seen on the planet, because you can't compare him to a football player because tennis players are playing 11 months out of the year, multiple time zones in a different hotel or Airbnb every single week. They get off the court at midnight. They have four more hours of post-workout. They get to bed at 5 a.m. and then have to play again at 6 o'clock that night. So arguably, he is the greatest athlete of all time. What he has accomplished is unprecedented. And you can't compare it to basketball players or football players or golfers or, you know, anybody else. If Novak Djokovic has to look himself in the mirror and give himself a pep talk, what does that tell you about our mindset and our ego?
Yeah.
It was the confidence. He had to give himself a pep talk because he was lacking in confidence. Oh my God, I just lost two sets. I got to get back out there and play another 2-3 hours because each set is about an hour. I got to go play and I got to step up my game. And he had to give himself a pep talk. That is peak performance. And recognizing that he had it within himself and he knew that he could do this, but he had to give himself a little pep talk because nobody can do it for you. It has to come from in here. It has to come from your heart. Didn't matter. His coaches would be like, you got this. And he'd be like, yeah, right. I got it. But if you don't really believe in yourself and have that confidence, it's not going to happen. And you can use that at any level, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, it all starts with within, because on the other side, we could have all these people that, you know, want to see us lose. And that can like into our head, especially if you're competing at a high level in sports like that. And so like you have to be your number one cheerleader at that point. You have to give yourself the best pep talk. You can't rely on the coach to pump you up. Like you have to pump you up. You have to know what pumps you up too, because like you could be doing the wrong things to pump you up and then you're not getting the results that you know you're capable of getting. So what pumps me up and what pumps you up might be two different things.
That's
but
right.
Know that you can go to that and you don't have to rely on external factors or chance or luck. Like you can have control of how you're going to perform. Not to say that like things aren't going to go your way or things might mess up. Like that just happens. But you can put yourself in the best position to succeed and get to the place where you want to go. So I love that. Well, and it does all start with us.
Well, the thing is success is 80% mindset, 20% tactics. So yeah, whatever your sport you're playing or whatever it is you're doing, yeah, you've got the tactics you need to do. But if the space between your ears isn't in the right frame of mind, you're not going to succeed. Because you're going to self-sabotage. And a lot of that self-sabotage comes from that you don't believe in yourself. You don't have that confidence.
Yeah. I mean, it goes with me playing basketball. A simple analogy here is like when I'm missing a bunch of shots, like that can get into my confidence. But when I see the ball go in once, it's like, okay, look out, guys. I'm shooting it now. Like, we're going. So it's like that little switch. And it's that's the thing, like it's a domino effect. Like this small thing can lead to a big change later on if you keep on staying consistent with it. So
yeah,
I love all of this and I feel like I could talk to you for another 2 hours, but
we could easily
yeah. So I got two more questions here before we wrap up. One of them I'm actually pretty interested on. Let's talk about you now and some of your non-negotiable daily habits and routines that keep you on fire.
Well, I like to start out my day in gratitude and I meditate pretty much every morning. And what I do is I just don't get out of bed. So I usually will wake up and I will lay in bed for probably 30 minutes. I envision the day that I'm creating. You know, I think about what I have to do and how, you know, what are the important things that I need to do? And also seeing that positive outcome and that, you know, and envisioning everything just going, you know, smoothly and whatnot. Breath work is really starting your day with breath work. I've recently just added this because I was listening to, or I think it was a guest I was interviewing. And the reason so many elderly people die in their sleep is because between the hours of 2 and 5 in the morning, you're getting very, very little oxygen through your bloodstream. So it's really important to start your day with some deep breathing. And even if you do, you know, experts say if you can do it for 8 minutes, that's great. 8 minutes is hard to get to. I'm not even there. I usually, if I can just count to 10 and do 10 deep breaths, like that's good for me. Looking in the mirror, and I look in the mirror and I say, I love you. And the other non-negotiables is hydrate. You know, I know I've got my, you see me on my podcast, I've got my, you know, purple and blue, and I'm just, you know, hydrate. And I use electrolytes, very low sugar, not sugar-free, just low sugar electrolytes, to keep my body rehydrated. So those are just some of the non-negotiables, but I do other things. I started a few months ago. I get liquid IVs twice a month, and I do a red light therapy after I have an IV. And with the IVs, I usually get like a B complex. There's a supplement called NAC, which is a very detoxifying. And I tell you, the past few months, I have never looked younger, felt better, just by adding those two things twice a month into my regimen. And the red light therapy, the benefits are just, and with you, with your Crohn's disease, you'd be like a perfect candidate for that because it really heals from the cellular level.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about the red light, but not the details like that. So I'm gonna have to check it out. And yeah.
Yeah, Andrew Huberman has I think a 2-hour podcast, which I haven't listened to it yet, but it's on my list, where he dives deep into red light therapy. And I'm a huge, like, I've seen so many amazing results from it. And yeah, I just, so I'm starting to now like talk about that more too, because it's so beneficial for you.
Yeah, well, I'm always like looking to incorporate more things into my routine, and I love how you started out with visualization and like setting up that perfect day almost like exactly how you want it to go. Not saying it's gonna go that way, but you have this intention of what, you know, it should be and what you want it to be. And you know, you're gonna have so much more clarity throughout the day when you're making decisions because you already have that intention set in place and you've already felt it how it's supposed to feel. So like I love doing that. And you know, I typically do it at night. So like, you know, switch flipping it and doing it in the morning to like set the day up. I like that. So I'm gonna steal a page from your book there.
Well, here, let me take it one step further.
Okay.
Why don't you do it at night? Think about the day that you want to have tomorrow. I do that as well when I remember to, because sometimes I end up falling asleep watching TV, and that's a bad habit, but I love it. It's just one of my indulgences where I like to fall asleep watching TV. So I try to do that at night. But if you can think about that at night and then you fall asleep, it's going to be even more powerful. And then do it again in the morning.
Yeah,
Because
double.
it's going to be really set more into your subconscious mind if you think about it before you go to sleep. So
Yeah,
do both.
do both. Yeah, and for everyone listening, you guys can do both too. If I gotta do it, you guys gotta do it. Awesome. So I got one last question before we wrap things up here. What's been one of the biggest or greatest lessons in your life or pieces of advice received that has made the biggest impact on you?
There's so many. And when I get asked this question, I always come back to one thing. The book that I published in 2009 was a novel for young adults. I finished the second book. It was supposed to be a series of five books. I finished the second book in 2010, and it was never published. So at some point, I am going to finish it, and I'm going to put them all together and make it, just republish it and update it. So that's in the works at some point. But the theme of that book was forgive for peace. And I had it on my license plate for 10 years, and it was 4GV for PC. And it was funny because some people say, forgive your PC. And they're like, oh, forgive for peace. And I'm like, yeah. I even got a speeding ticket years ago, and the police officer goes, I hope you forgive me. And he was like, hee, and he started laughing.
That's funny.
But that's the thing. And I think like that was the biggest thing when I really deeply understood the power of forgiveness. And if you're feeling anything but peace in your heart, there's someone or something you need to forgive. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be yourself, because we find it easier to forgive others and much harder to forgive ourselves.
Yeah.
So forgive for peace. It's just like a little saying that, you know, is easy to remember. Forgive for peace. Forgive for peace. So
yeah. It's like taking that accountability almost and like owning it and like, okay, this happened. I forgive it. I forgive you. I forgive myself even.
Forgive myself.
Yeah.
We need to forgive ourselves for the way we react at certain times. Yes. Forgive yourself. And it goes back to Ho'oponopono. Forgive yourself for all the negative thoughts you're thinking.
Yes.
Right?
That's
like, it's okay. Just forgive yourself. Like, yeah. Let it go.
That's a great final nugget for everyone here. Like, forgive yourself. It's okay if you, 2023 wasn't the best year. Like, forgive yourself. This is a new year and you're listening to this podcast. You already got some momentum. You know, this is the end of the podcast. Like, you're really here and you're diving into it. You're investing in yourself. And, you know, that's something to be proud of. So, you know, I'm here supporting everyone listening. If you guys are going through anything, like, let me know. I'm always here to help. And just give yourself that grace, because we all need it sometimes. And, you know, I certainly do myself. So it's something that we can all use a little bit more of, and just appreciate ourselves a little bit more.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dan.
Yeah, of course. So before you head out, like, let us know how we can support you. I'll put both links to your books, Happiness Solved and The Change, in the show notes below, so it's easy for everyone to grab a copy. But if you got anything else going on in your world, please let us know.
Yeah, you know, I'm launching a membership, exclusive membership site as part of my podcast, where the members will get additional content. They will get guided meditations, very short little episodes that are going to be under 10 minutes long, probably even under 5 minutes long, where I'm talking about diving into very specific topics. So it's just additional content that my listeners will have access to. And that can be found at happinesssolved.supercast.com.
Awesome.
So it's on Supercast. Yeah. The membership
site. You're extending the podcast and adding more to it.
Extending it out. Yeah.
You're an innovator out here. So, Sandy, thank you so much for taking time to be here with me today and being vulnerable to share your story. Your kindness, perseverance, and positivity shine hope on others, and the world is a brighter and better place because of you. You are inspiring, and I know that your best is yet to come, and I'm so honored to have crossed paths with you and to call you a friend. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, Dan, thank you. Thank you. And I can't wait to see you sometime this year. I'm sure it'll be sometime in the next few months.
I'm sure it will be.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Are you ready to take charge of your health and transform your life? Well, get ready, because we have the solution for you. Introducing the Nova Fusion 21-Day Wellness and Resilience Challenge. The ultimate program designed to stack massive momentum, achieve peak performance, and spark your transformation. In just 21 days, you can experience a total wellness revolution. Our challenge is jam-packed with daily inspiration, education, downloadable resources, and exciting challenges to keep you fired up and on track. But that's not all. When you join the challenge, you'll also become a member of our exclusive Nova Fusion family. Together, we'll support and uplift one another as we continue to grow and thrive. Unlock the secrets of the world's best wellness and resilience practices to stay mentally and physically fit for a lifetime. From renewing healing practices to transformative high-performance techniques, we've got you covered. And here's something that sets us apart. I believe in these practices so much that I'm offering a money-back guarantee. That's right, if you don't see results, you can get your money back, so you have absolutely nothing to lose, but everything to gain. So what are you waiting for? Take advantage of this limited time opportunity right now. go to novafusion.co/challenge to sign up and embark on the journey of a lifetime. Let's spark your transformation together. I can't wait to see you on the other side.